Hi, my name is Kathy. I'm an alcoholic, and it was really good to hear Ray. I came into Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 23 years old, 1982, and I haven't found it necessary to pick up a drink or a drug since I've been here, and that's been because of the grace of God, nothing to do with me. I wish I could take credit for that, and it isn't because, and I didn't have God, a God in my life when I first got into Alcoholics Anonymous because I thought I was being punished. I came from an alcoholic home, but that doesn't mean that that's why I became an alcoholic. I know I had this disease when they described it when I came into the halls of AA, physical, mental, spiritual. I had it way before drink was even in my hand because I had fear, doubt, and insecurity, and I lied and I cheated and I stole when I was, even before a drink was even in my hand. I had no idea of that though until I came in these halls. My dad was a bartender in Lynn. I'm going to say before, during, and after. This is kind of like my fourth meeting today. I spoke earlier, and I know that this is what I needed to do because I wasn't sure if I wanted to do this. And when I don't want to do something, that's when you do it. And that's what I was taught. I grew up in alcoholic home. My dad was a bartender in the city of Lynn. That's where I grew up. And what I remember was my dad always like having the attention of people, and he loved that. And him and my mom were separated, and I looked up to him, and he never paid child support. He wined and dined everybody, and I loved that attention, and I loved that. And I had no idea, I loved that excitement, what I used to see, and I had no idea that that was part of this disease for me. By the time I was probably, 12, my older brother, who ended up dying from this disease in 2004, was a heroin addict. And I remember thinking in the back of my mind, I was never going to do any drugs. I was never going to drink. And I had good intentions. I met a girl, my best friend, in the fifth grade. We grew up, like we said, we were going to travel. We were going to do these things. And we had, sense of a spirit, because they talked about a spirit around here. And I had a sense of a spirit back then. I rode my bike. I went horseback riding. I roller skated. I ice skated. I went to YMCA dances. I did life, even though crazy was like, insanity was going on and chaos was going on, even in that alcoholic home, I still found, a sense of a spirit. And I always hung around with a lot of friends back then. There was always, big families. There were 10, 12 kids in the family. We were always hanging out and normal things, I know like what the big book talks about. I had like that self-will run riot way before I had a drink in my hand. I love to be a daredevil. You told me to do something and I was going to do it. You challenged me and I was going to do it. But at the age of 12, was my first time that I ever tried drinking, and I drank wine, and it was at my dad's house, and I was with my girlfriend, and we were playing restaurant, and I drank wine and ate ringdings, threw up and said, I ain't going to do that again. And, cause it wasn't like I got any feeling or anything. And then by the time junior high school came around and Ray was talking about it, cause it was back in the 70s, and everybody was smoking pot and drinking, and, and it was like the hippie days. My brother and sister were into all that. And, I don't know, something happened that summer. By the end of the summer, I was going into the ninth grade, and I remember something happening that summer. When I lived in Lynn, there was parties everywhere. There was parties in, the commons and in the woods and all that. And one day I took a swig of, I was with my girlfriend, and we were down in the commons in Lynn, and I took a swig of a bottle of white port wine, and all I remember went down. I hated the taste of it. It went down my throat, burned the hell out of it, hit my belly, and I felt this awe, comfortable feeling. And for the next few years, until I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I chased that awe, good feeling. I had no idea. Like, in my first loss of like spiritual values, as they used to say, was school. School. I was doing well in school. And it went right out the window. I wanted, it was more important. I had barely made it through the ninth grade, got into high school, and it was more important to throw your books in the locker and go out the side door, and we would party for the day. By the time I was 16, I quit school because I thought I knew it all. And because I was self-will run riot, my mother couldn't tell me what to do. And, I was going to do what I wanted to do, And I had no idea. I had no idea once I picked up that drink, and along came the drugs too. It was pot and mescaline, like Ray was talking about, and acid and THC and all kinds, you know. And all I kept thinking in the back of my mind, that's how sick this disease was. It centered in my thinking, as it says in the book. I kept saying, I won't stick a needle in my arm because of my brother. I'll never do heroin. It didn't matter. Because it all came, you know, it didn't matter how I did it. You know, I can remember like food and cigarettes were my first actually addiction too. Like I got relief, you know, when I was a kid, I always ate sugar a lot, you know, and cigarettes. I remember like at 12 years old, taking a hit of a cigarette, and my girlfriend choked her brains out, and I Frenched and healed. And I took off with that. Like anything that came in that form of addiction, I did, you know, and I didn't know. I didn't know what I didn't know. By the time concerts were around then, you know, we were having fun, and it was fun for a long time, for a while. And then the end of the summer of that year, I remember I was 16 years old. And by the end of the summer of that year, I had my first signpost, and I didn't pay attention to it. I was drinking a lot of rum, and I loved to do speed because I liked that euphoria high. And I was doing a lot of speed, and I drank a lot of rum, and ended up in the hospital. And I remember them saying to me that they seen the drugs in my system. Maybe, you know, I should get help. And I'm thinking, I'm all right, you know. And a month after I come out of that hospital, I found out I was pregnant with my older daughter. And I was 16 years old, having a baby. And the only reason why I didn't drink and drug through that pregnancy is because it made me physically ill. But they talked about a craving around here when I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous, that physical craving and the mental obsession. And I remember feeling the end of that pregnancy, I can't wait for this baby to be born. I need to go back out there. And that's what I did. My daughter was born 2 weeks out of the hospital. I was back out there, but I was putting controls on my drinking. And at the same time, I was trying to put controls on the father of that child, and we were playing house, and I was going to make everything look good on the outside. And that's what I did. I always made everything look good on the outside, and the inside, I was dying. My spirit that I had talked about was dying, because slowly but surely, and I didn't see it. I didn't see it at all. I kept like what the book talks about, like, you know, I would put my hand on that hot stove and keep going, you know. And it wasn't alcohol. It wasn't drugs. I was only doing this on the weekends, you know. And then for the next few years, my first ex-husband, was really getting into a lot of trouble with his drinking. And now, like, even at the age of 17, I was 17 and he was 18, and the signposts were coming for him. You know, he was getting into trouble with the law, and they were talking about AA. And I didn't, you know, think that he was an alcoholic. You know, the alcoholics were the people that were down and out, like, you know, when I would see, like, passed out in front of the bar rooms at times, or, you know, passed out where I used to work when I went to work. But I had no idea what an alcoholic was. I had no idea, you know. And we were trying to, you know, we tried all kinds of stuff. We tried geographical cures. You know, we moved out. I married him. I graduated. I did go back to high school. Like, I kept trying to do everything. I kept trying to be the good little girl, you know, and I couldn't, like, I couldn't do it. And I was trying to be that good little girl. And I got married to him. I got graduated from high school. We moved out to Oregon. My older brother, that was a heroin addict, came off the heroin for a little while. He was still drinking though and smoking pot, but he stopped doing the heroin. And we went out to Oregon, and life was good for a little while. And then he got caught in Mexico. He picked up heroin again, my brother. And at this time, my ex-husband, I didn't know he was doing it, and his partner, and they got caught and almost didn't get out of the country. And I said, I'm going back to Massachusetts, because I knew I didn't want to live that. I didn't want to be around my brother when he was doing heroin. And I came back to Massachusetts. My ex-husband was drinking for a vengeance, and so was I. We were living with my mom, and I was hitting the vodka bottle, and I had no idea, because I didn't know what condition he was going to come in. And for the next few years, this disease got worse, and it got worse with our, you know, physically, mentally, and spiritually, and I'm in our relationship, you know. And I kept trying all kinds of stuff, and then I sought out help for the first time. And it was a counselor who said to me, Kathy, why don't you try Al-Anon? You know, because like I said, I was always, my kid was in dancing school, my money, I had money in the bank. I had a job. I went, you know, I got a job. I was always trying to make everything look good on the outside. You know, my kid was clean. My house was clean. I was a functioning alcoholic. I couldn't be an alcoholic. I had three jobs. I was a Tupperware woman. I worked during the day. I would bartend and cocktail waitress and, waitress at my father's girlfriend's place. And I would, you know, do all these things. And I had no idea that this, you know, alcohol was my problem. And I was always pointing my finger at him. And I went to Al-Anon for the next few years. And I would go out on a Friday night to this place and be drinking after an Al-Anon meeting and be blaming my ex-husband, you know, and and I was hiding behind him for the longest time. The marriage finally ended, and before it ended, I met a woman who was in Al-Anon, and they called her a double winner. She was in AA and Al-Anon, and she said, you know, she did a four step with me in Al-Anon. She goes, Kathy, I think you have an alcohol problem. And I said, I didn't speak to that woman for a year until I hit Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was like, what? How could she say that? Me be an alcoholic? And 4 months later, my ex-husband and I finally, because he cheated on me for the, I don't know how many times. And I tried to kill myself and I blamed him. I put 64 pills in my system. And I remember waking up in the hospital and my mother and my best friend and my ex were looking over and saying, what are you doing? And they didn't even realize that, you know, booze and drugs were a problem. And so I got out of that hospital and 2 days out of that hospital, because the first time a psychiatrist had said to me, you know, do you think you're having a trouble with your drinking? I'm like, why are these people asking me about my drinking? Don't they hear me about my, you know, ex-husband, yada, yada, yada. And 2 days out of that hospital, I had a drink in my hand. The insanity that was killing me was in my hand, and I didn't even realize it. I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know when I would be in high school and they would talk about this mental obsession, and I'd get relief with thinking about a keg party on a Friday night, and that was part of this disease. I had no idea. And then a year of this disease started to progress, and it got worse, you know, and I thought, well, the ex-husband's gone, and now it's time to party, and I was 22 and years old, and I was out in the bars, and all the stuff that I promised wouldn't do, you know, leaving my daughter with my mother, and I was doing that, you know, and not coming home on the weekends, and this was happening in the end of my drinking. And then I started to try, like, for myself, and I did the 9 days New Year's resolution, and then I went to AA the month later, and I kept comparing my life, because they used to tell you to go open AA meetings. And I was comparing, and then that summer it got worse, and it got worse on the inside. I felt like they talked about being a football stadium, being all alone, you know, and I couldn't tell somebody in the bar because they tell me to smoke a joint, a drink or whatever. And then the end of that summer was August, and something happened. Like, that whole weekend I was drinking. I blacked out for the second time. As my ex-husband used to black out, and I didn't know what they were because I never blacked out. And I started to have gray outs. And I woke up one morning and my daughter was going, Mommy, get me. My older daughter at the time was, Mommy, get me breakfast. And I couldn't get off the couch. I wanted to die. And I had a woman that was working with me. And she said, hey, Kathy, I'm saving you a seat in AA, because by this time now I'm drinking during the week. And I never did that. I'm hungover. I said, yeah, dust that thing off. I'm not coming. And out of the desperation, call it the gift of desperation, I picked up that phone and I called her. And she said, meet me at a noontime meeting in Peabody. And there started my journey of the Alcoholics Anonymous. And that was in August of 1982. And then 2 weeks went by, and wasn't told about, like, cocaine. And somebody came over one night and said that we were going away on a weekend, and it was Labor Day weekend. And they threw a bag of cocaine on the table. They said, hey, Kathy, did Alcoholics Anonymous say anything about cocaine? I said, no. And the next thing I know, I was doing cocaine. And I remember that next morning, though, looking out at Lake Winnipesaukee, he said, God, if you get me back to AA, I promise I'll, you know, do anything. And that's what happened. And I came back, and it was Labor Day weekend. It was September 7th of that year. And that's my anniversary date. And I came back to Alcoholics Anonymous. This time I came back and I was kicking and screaming. And there was a guy in there who knew my dad, because when my father was a bartender, he knew a lot of people. And he said to me, hey, I was going out the side door one day. I was probably 30 days sober. And he said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he talked to me and he saved my life that day. He told me about, you know, about this disease. He said, "Kathy, when they take booze and drugs out of your system, your body's screaming for a drink." And all I knew was, like, I was detoxing in AA. I could see the floor of this meeting. And my first year was my worst year, and it was my best year, because he used to say to me, "Kathy, don't ever forget where you come from. You'll never have to go through this again." And I haven't had to sober up again. I have gone through some pain in this program, emotional pain. I've gone through, you know, some suffering in this program, because, like they said, you know, you can do anything you want in Alcoholics Anonymous and you can stay sober, but there's a price to pay. And I had to find that out for my own being, because I think that guy was talking about fulfilling the hole in the soul. I chased everything when I got sober, and I got it all. And, you know, I got the house, I got a marriage, a new marriage. I got my daughter. I had another daughter in AA. I got, like, a new job. I went to college. I went skiing. I did everything. And none of that was wrong, really. But what I didn't realize was the spiritual talks about the spiritual, you know, I got a spiritual experience in the beginning when I was getting sober. And all of that too was beautiful things that happened in my life. They were, you know, there were miracles and there were gifts that came to me, but I took advantage and I didn't see, like, you know, what the big book was talking about. And I almost, at the 10 years of sobriety, I signed myself in sober and I wanted to blow my brains out. And I said, "What is wrong with me now?" And I found out, like, you know, God shows up at the right time, at the right moment, not a second more for me, because I do have a God of my understanding today, you know, and he's carried me through this big, through this, you know, program. And every time when I've needed help, somebody shows up, and he showed up with that big book and he said, "Do you know this big book?" And I was in AWOLs and I facilitated AWOLs and I thought I knew it all. And I said, "Oh yeah." And he said, "Let me show you." Because in the first page, it says, "To precisely show how we recover from a hopeless state of mind." And I know that I got hope when I walked in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, but something was also missing, because I didn't have this relationship that it was talking about in there, where it says you can have access to and contact with God on a daily basis. If you invite him in, you can have it. And if you practice these principles in all your affairs, you can have God. And I didn't know that, Kathy, you know.
2 minutes.
Thank you. I didn't know that. And I didn't know, like, this was a spiritual thing. So I went through that big book and I was 14 years sober. And that big book is what saved my life. And it still does today. And I think Ray was talking about that, because passing it on, you know, like, that's all I've done. You know, at 30 years, I'll just say this, at 30 years of my sobriety, I wanted to drink again. My mother and father had passed away. And then in the past, like, it, for a while there, people were dying, and, you know, people that were sober and people that weren't sober. And I was having a hard time and I didn't realize, and I wanted to drink at 30 years of sobriety. Again, like, what God showed up with is to, you know, I started to help people with that big book, and it saved my life, you know, because at the end, when Bob was dying in his deathbed, he said to Bill, "Hey, Bill, keep this thing simple, because all we do is really pass it on." And that's all we do. And that's why I'm here tonight. That's all we do is pass it on. And that's why I'm still staying sober today. And that's all I keep doing is passing this on. And that's been the best thing that's ever happened to me in this program. My stepdaughter's on this meeting tonight. She just graduated from a sober house, and I'm so proud of her. And I have that daughter who I had in AA is now sober. She'll have 90 days next month. Nothing to do with me. It's the grace of God today. And that's the gift that I get, you know. Thank you.